Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight this Thursday night, September 6, 2018. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful that you can join us again tonight, either via live stream here on Facebook or on the podcast platform on blogtalkradio.com. We're grateful again for each of you. And we look forward to sharing another very, very interesting dialogue with you, as we have been fortunate to do so for the last 2 years now. And just this past Tuesday, we were grateful for informative information. So if you're listening for the first time, Building Families and Communities Institute is the sponsor, all right, or BFC Institute, for this podcast. And the aim is to continue national dialogue across urban America about the socioeconomic challenges confronted by many families and young people that put them at risk to social demise, to incarceration, school dropout, as well as mental health illnesses and, sadly, early demise from life, right? And so our topics are designed to encourage, motivate, to educate, to inspire. 2018, we've been striving to focus largely on how. We talked a lot about what the problem was historically, and on this broadcast in 17, our aim is to do the best we can to talk about how we can address certain things, come to understand certain things, even in their existence, and how to resolve them, all right? And so we're grateful that you joined us. The number, you can call me right here in the studio tonight at 657-383-0944. It's an open mic discussion. All we ask is that you share relevant and meaningful comments on and or questions, that we show respect to one another. As I said before, I don't expect everyone to agree with my position, but we do expect everyone to respect one another in their position while we're on the air here. We expect Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, to join us tonight. He's a very busy man himself, and when he can, he's here with us. And we're grateful for our regular listening audience and those who call and participate. But tonight I want to invite you, be our next caller, our first caller, perhaps, 657-330-944. If you like, you can respond to our question threads that are on Facebook and or throughout our conversations. Shoot us a question or comment. And again, for the benefit of our first-time listeners, I will start with a monologue here formally for about maybe 5-10 minutes here, and then we'll open up our phone lines to open conversation, and we'll progress from that point forward. All right? I think we kind of covered all of the basic details there. Again, we're grateful for each of you, our new Facebook group members for BSC Institute. Welcome to our conversation, our group, and our dialogue. With that, we're going to go right into it. From time to time, for our new listeners, we use Bible verses as well as we use spiritual and secular music. As a matter of fact, tonight we're going to use that. We do so as a teaching tool, okay, to exact certain points and certain reality to reflect the existence of certain realities and circumstances. Alrighty. Now, I think I've covered that. BSCInstitute.com is the website that you can learn more about the organization and what we're doing, and yours truly as well. Alrighty. Now, having said that, I think we're ready to rock and roll. A significant factor for personal setback for people is not knowing ahead of time what their individual limit in life exists as. Far too often, well-meaning, intended people pursue the interests and aspirations of other people, hoping to be successful. Problem is that motivation behind their actions, their efforts, will not be realistic, and they will misguide it oftentimes. Therefore, their outcome are likely to result in major disappointment. Tonight, we're talking from the topic, how to know your limits. And let me, when you say that, Brother Brown, let me say that I realized that we had a typo here in our promotion. That should be how to know your limits, not you limit, right? Having said that, we made that correction. Now we're moving on, moving on. And we go straight to our monologue. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and the 6th verse says, very, very familiar passage of text, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'd like to bring for your attention, to your attention, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe there's instruction there. Now, I want to preface what I'm about to say with this. My intention is not to discourage anyone or to make anyone feel bad. But again, the purpose of this show, this podcast, is to educate, empower, and inspire. And I'm speaking from experience as a professional educator, as well as a pastor, okay, for the last 22 years. What I'm speaking from is from experience. And tonight, I'm going to use a reference. I authored a workbook as a part of a book that I, an audio book out. Authored in 2006, and my workbook is entitled A Framework for Fatherly Instructions, Understanding the Male Growth Process. So largely my research and my education is focused on the anthropology of African-American males, specifically in the urban American setting. what I'm sharing with you tonight, again, research-based, is practical in nature, and I believe you'll find it to make some common sense. You may not. Let's have a conversation about it. I'm going to target the male growth process. Now, this is not just applicable to males. I'm convinced that it works for females as well. But you know, our focus here is on urban American conditions, circumstances of African-American males who are often at risk of many troubles. During the maleness development period, consider that there are unconscious lessons learned through social communication and interaction. It is in the family or home environment, good or bad, that these examples that are often most impressionable, seen or witnessed. What is learned during this, what I term in my book, age cycle, drives the male's behavior throughout the rest of his life. In other words, it shapes his character. I submit to you tonight that the primary reason young people, cities like Chicago, Detroit, right here in Nashville, Houston, Texas, New Orleans, and Indiana, suburban America, number one reason for the troubles they face, why they can't seem to get past it, is because of certain exposures in their urban American experience. They find themselves in limbo due to the lack of proper socialization and preparation. The question, how to know your limits, become prevalent. Now, I'm going to talk to you from, again, that work, and I want to look at how we've extrapolated the behavioral psychologist Eric Erickson's work and the eight stages of social development. I want you to consider there are some things that are missing, okay? And the consequence of that is that in the absence of good parenting, and largely this example should come from their father. I know that there are mitigating circumstances, reasons why this don't happen. I get it, right? But the truth of the matter, in the ideal situation, that's where we should work. And if we're going to do anything to support families, to support young people, I sincerely believe we ought to work to revitalize the family unit for those who lack it. Okay? So our past negative experience, mine included, becomes an instructional tool. So let's consider first one, some lessons that are learned, consciously or unconsciously. And the first one is how to trust just into success or failure. Confidence in people acting as your role models versus distrust, which is a lack of confidence or respect due to absence or neglect. Case in point, it's assumed that biologically, if you give birth to or help give birth to a child, they should respect you because you're their daddy. Well, your absence have caused them to lose or not even find any respect for you at all. Not a good thing, but it's what we have to fix. All right? The basis of showing future respect for authority to other men and people in authority in the greater social context figures directly into the degree to which these lessons are learned, good or bad. All right? And I'm going to get to how it is that when a young person is not conscious of their limits, your primary coach should be, your voice of authority should be your father, ideally. And they help you to establish your character and set limits for yourself, boundaries for yourself. And by this, you're able to develop and construct yourself in a helpful, responsible way. All right? The second lesson I want to focus on tonight is the lesson of autonomy, which is confidence and independent ability that results from praise and admiration from the authority figure. Have somebody say, you're doing good, you're all right, we appreciate you. That goes a long way for all of us. It's either that or versus shame, which is a feeling of embarrassment before others as a result of making a mistake. Why is it that young people feel bad when they mess up? That's a normal thing. Then there's doubt or uncertainty of your personal ability that results from the lack of positive recognition or getting you back on track, even if you make a mistake. So in the absence of that father figure, step out there to try to do something you saw somebody else do. You want to put your big boy pants on. But if there's no one to tell you that there's a limit to what you should do and to structure your environment and your activities and manage your time, you get yourself out there and you hit fall on your face, then you feel bad, and now you have some thoughts, second thoughts about doing anything else, trying anything else, certainly anything positive. Perhaps the most pivotal principle of building self-esteem, right here, it's important that parents pay attention to this. Even if you are a single-parent mother, you must make sure that your children have the opportunity to be in the presence of somebody that would be a strong, positive coach, uncle, or church member, somebody that they can rely on to give them that guidance, to let them know it's all right, little brother. Even if you mess up, you slip up, we don't expect you to know it all. All right? Talking about how to know your limits. Thirdly, the lesson of industry, the drive and confidence to produce as a result of good instruction. When you got good instruction and you're ready to show and demonstrate what you've learned, guess what? You become an unstoppable force academically in school, athletics, and other technical pursuits, social orientation, scouting or 4-H club, things of that nature. You're ready to show people your best ability. Well, it's either that or versus inferiority. When does a young man become concerned that they're inferior to their peers, either in their neighborhood or in a larger context of society? This kind of factors into the Black Lives Matter concept, the fear that the police is after me. Consider this. Inferiority is a feeling of not being able to compete with others as a result of lacking instruction and confidence in personal abilities. So if that coach shadows you through certain life-building experiences so that you can develop your own confidence over time. Once you're able to stand on your own, you have the confidence within yourself. You don't have to worry about nobody looking at you or why they're looking at you, how they're looking at you, when you know who you are, what you're capable of doing. Most importantly, you are in order. Inferiority and industry. A lot of young men lose their industry, the desire to do something, to produce for themselves and make a contribution to humanity, because they have been set up in the ghetto experience to feel inferior. That is utterly amazing to me. But friends, it's real. This is what we have to focus on. Now, if you want to help them now, if you want to address the killing, the shooting, and the crime, I'm telling you, this is what you're going to have to look at. Anybody else telling you anything else, telling you a lie, running game. Either they don't know or they don't care, one of the two. But a doctor is here to tell you that this is what we have to look at. Now, this lesson is recognized by the degree of independence that a young person shows as they express themselves socially. Lastly, and we'll open up our phone lines. The fourth thing I want to share with you is a lesson that is consciously or unconsciously learned, and that is initiative. Initiative, which is a demonstration of confidence in personal building as a result of being coached through learning experiences, versus coming out on the other end with guilt. Where does that guilt come from? The feeling of wrongdoing. I messed up. I'm not worthy. This comes from failed attempts at doing something that is worth praise, but without understanding. A lot of young guys have zeal on according to knowledge, and they find themselves trying to impress, but doing the wrong thing. Ooh, baby, look at you, girl. You stack like a mule. What's wrong with that? Are you trying to offer a compliment? Most likely you are. But you don't talk to a lady like she's a piece of meat. Well, if no man has taught you that, that's not how you respect a woman. Bless your heart. You think you're doing something, and you believe you're making her feel good about herself. But what you're really doing is setting yourself up to feel guilty that, hey, I offended her. I wasn't even trying to do that. I don't know why she's tripping. And this thing extends into society. I'm trying to be like the hustler, the gangster, and the dope dealer in school and other places, and I don't know why y'all tripping. Making me feel guilty like I've done something wrong. Initiative versus guilt. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines after I go to my friend, Young Jeezy. Listen to Young Jeezy for a second. Disclaimer, sometimes he has some choice words, but they're real. Now, this song is a little old, but guess what? The conversation and the mentality is very much alive in 2018. Listen to what he said just for a second. Look, Jeezy, tell us. From the topic tonight, how to know your limits. What you just heard this young brother say, this is a little few years ago, but it's still real today, is in his mind, I'm trying to feed the block. It's my responsibility to take care of my people. There are a lot of young cats out there who feel like if they don't do it, the younger brothers and sisters, their mamas won't find the piece of the American dream. And they set themselves up for the failure of being locked up and pulled away from the free world. Pastor Waller, welcome to Talk Straight, sir. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing there?
Mighty fine. God bless you. All right, yes, sir. All right. 1098, what about it, man?
Told the truth.
I know you got some for me. All right. Well, we have 3072 with us as well, guys, from Florida. Welcome, 3072. Welcome to Talk Straight. Okay, she may be there with the babies there. But anyway, we'll keep it moving. Dylan, talk to me about that. Now, when we think about why so many people get caught up in the game, they think they're living the American dream and they got a right to do whatever they want to. Is there danger inherent in trying to tell a young person you can have whatever you want, do whatever you want to in America? Is there something wrong with that? Anybody?
Well, yeah, something wrong with it, yeah. You can do what you're going to do as long as it's within the law. But when you go outside the law, you got to pay the cost. You dance to the music, you got to pay it to the piper and say, this is what's going on.
Uh-oh.
You know, down here dancing. music, and then when time to end up and pay that piper, they want to cry. You know, they want to cry foul. But no, it's not foul. You dance to that music. So now you pay it to the piper within the law.
But you know what, Outkast? What if I didn't know nothing about that? Ain't nobody told me about that, man. I ain't know nothing about that.
Oh, so therefore you were dumb coming in, so therefore you sure going to look dumb coming out. You know, out from behind them bars and get Leah to come out.
Uh-oh.
You know, I mean, let me tell you something about criminal activity. You know, I'm in criminal activity. You know, I did a little study, you know,
okay.
Which I had a choice. You know,
All right.
I turned down the pimping. I, Gunners, you know, honest to God, I turned that down. And
okay.
I said, well, I'm going to go to burglary. You know, so therefore, I went and read up on burglary. Back then, it was first-degree burglary, second-degree burglary. Oh, you get less time for third-degree burglary. You know, it's breaking business. This is what I'm going to do. They don't study. You know, a lot of them, you know, the old saying, look before you leap. This is the problem. A lot of them don't look before they leap. And they get caught up in that, you know, in that thing, you know, and I mean, you know, you dance that music, you know, yeah, go on, play the pipe or not.
I want to focus on something you're saying because you're right. They don't look before they leave. But how popular is it because they don't know to look before they leave? All they know is to jump, you know. And but by the time you jump, you don't have gravity, and you got to come down no matter rather how hard
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. You know, there's a block there. It's a mental block. You know, I mean, this is just like a person going out on a boat, can't swim, and don't even have on a life jacket.
What are you doing out there?
You know, I swim, you know, but, you know, the thing is this, you know, when it comes to lakes and things of that nature, you know, I have no sense to put on me a life jacket. You know, so therefore, it's a mental thing from my point of view. For the life of me, I still don't understand yet. People go on all these doggone cruises now. You can't swim. You might not be able to get to a lifeboat, but doggone, I mean, if you can swim a little bit, you might make it to the bank. Hella block, you know. I may be wrong. Somebody correct me now if I'm wrong.
Now, that's an interesting position. My mother-in-law, rest her soul, used to say, I'm not going to get in no more water I can take a bath in.
The same thing applies for criminal activities. You know, I mean,
well,
a lot of people, you know, they say, well, you know, they don't watch the news, they don't do this, and they don't do that. Every time you turn on the news, something bad. But guess what? I watch the news daily. And each time I watch it, I get something up out of it. Let me tell you something about members. Around the holidays, they will get on the television and tell people where they're going to set up sobriety checkpoints. Now, all
right.
Of them running around out there drinking all, but now they don't watch the news, and guess what? They run straight into that sobriety checkpoint.
Yeah. That's
and
an
head straight
point.
On to the glamour slammer, Shelby County Jail. I ain't thinking about Nashville.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
okay.
A mental part.
I got you. Are you there, 3072? You back with us?
Yeah, I'm back with you.
Okay. Did you hear our monologue? I'm curious to get your feedback on that.
Yeah, I mean, I heard some of it. I mean, man, all I could do is agree. I mean, again, it goes back to, like putting something into yourself and knowing who you are. And when you do that, nobody can take away from, especially if who you are is a decent, respectable, upstanding person, then it don't matter how nobody look at you.
Okay. It looks like we have 8112 on with us. Welcome, 8112. Okay. I guess you'll
I'm
catch
gonna
up with us there.
I'm going to apologize in advance, y'all.
Okay, what?
Can you hear
me? You busy? Yeah, you're busy?
No, I have a head cold, so I'm struggling to breathe, to not cough, to sneeze.
I'm sorry.
So if I duck out, it's because I'm trying to be polite.
Okay. I know how that is. I know that I've been trying to deal with one myself there. All right. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
you and I have and continue to face to face deal with this issue. You got a young guy who all he really wants is to live the American dream, right?
All right. I don't know if you call it the American dream, but
that's what they say, Pastor. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Now I'm just telling the way I bought it, man. This is wholesale. This ain't retail.
Okay.
I ain't putting no price on.
All right. Okay.
So
American
the young man,
dream.
Look, Pastor. Look, he sees television, cars, right? People living in nice houses. People going to the mall, bringing big bags out. You understand what I'm saying? Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Summertime.
You
know what I mean? That's the American dream. Get a little music, let it be popping, jumping. You understand? Come on, Pat. And all he wants is a little bit of that. But every time, Pat, he does what he knows to get it, somebody got a problem with him. And they try to tell me I can't do that. There's a limit on me. So I guess what they say? I'm a no limit soldier. I thought I told you. Talk to me about that mindset.
Yeah. Well, I think everything that's being talked about, you know, you have to also take in consideration that, you know, you made mention about looking before you leap. That would be outstanding if you seen something there. But if there's nothing there, it's not supposed that you see. If you put a trap for a person, you don't want them to see that the trap is there. You put the trap there because you have a plan. And the plan is to do what the Word of God said. I mean, if you're doing that wickedness, and, you know, the Word does say, you know, that the thief and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So if you don't have a setup to make you not aware that this is a trap, then the setup would work. So if you setting a person up, which means that you're doing it, you know, with the idea that it's going to work, you don't set a person up to bring forth destruction unless you know or believe that it's going to work. And that's what we've been for some time.
Okay.
You know, this is the order. And I'm coming from a point of view of what I've learned according to the Word of God, but being unaware of the Word of God is what I like to start out with and say, I didn't know. Had I known that it was going to be a trap, then I would have been able to look because they would explain it to me. We get ready to set up a place right here on 28, for an example, and we're going to be stopping cars because we want to see who's speeding or who's doing whatever they're doing. But at least they told you. But in the game that they are setting people up with, they don't tell you that this is going on. They just let you go into the trap, and then they explain it to you when they get you downtown.
I guess
that's what the difference is. So you don't have time to say, well, why you didn't tell me that so I would have been able to look before I leaped into it. They're not going to do that. You know, that's not a genuine setup. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. 372 wanted to say something, then I'll come back. Go ahead, 372.
Oh, yes.
You just messed my head all up when you talk about that, you know, a lot of the guys out here are just wanting to live the American dream. How are they living the American dream? How do you call what's going on living?
Well,
that's a nightmare.
Okay. Can I come on.
We're talking straight, right?
Y'all vibing off each other on me tonight. But that's all right. That's all right.
I listened to that of what you said about, and that is true. That's where I find my sanity outside of when I'm done working. Yeah, I have a dream. I'd like to be able to provide for myself if I want to go buy something or if I want to cook something in my kitchen. If it's a holiday and I have extra money to cook, none of that is bothering anybody. But the problem becomes a problem and the dream turns into a nightmare when I'm deviating from just something as peaceful as that to setting up shop on the block, or
right.
I'm scouting
right.
people out to rob, or yeah. I'm beefing with somebody and I'm shooting up the neighborhood, or I'm
yeah.
in domestic violence, and I'm beating
Come.
Up the gal. I'm beating up the gal that I'm staying in her Section 8 apartment. The police
Uh-oh.
Are being called.
Uh-oh.
That's not,
Uh-oh.
I mean, come on. That's not, that's a nightmare.
That sounds like a nightmare
that's
to me.
That's a nightmare.
Boy.
Yeah, that's
a nightmare.
A nightmare
to me, Pastor.
Listen. All that you're saying, I appreciate. However,
yeah.
if from earth somebody taught me how to establish my domain, that's what I talk about in my book. How to establish
mm-hmm.
a personal domain to where I can
yeah.
afford to bring my wife into that domain, okay? Not
uh-huh.
my baby's mama, my freak, or anything else. And I can afford to rear my children in my under my roof, under the values that I have learned. You follow? So this is
yeah.
the American dream I'm telling you about. Okay?
Yeah.
And when we get ready, we can leave the neighborhood that we live in and go visit another state, another country, if we wanted
yes.
to. You understand
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
how can you do that when you
do...
got a record?
Listen to me.
And they won't let you leave the state. Okay.
Wait a minute, 37. Do listen to me for a second.
Oh, yeah, they can leave.
Well, 37-2. How do you get to the point where you're on paper that says you can't go nowhere outside of your city or your state? How do you get to that point?
Right.
If you're not born
All
like
those...
that, are you?
No, I mean, you live in that nightmare.
Well, here's the thing.
That you
this,
call
this
the
is my
American
whole point.
Dream.
This is my whole point. It's not a nightmare. It's only a nightmare when you have missed out on pro-social instruction and orientation. That's when it becomes a nightmare. That's my whole premise. That's my whole premise. Now, what happens is too many young people grow up in their immediate social environment, which is their home, and they miss out
sure.
on these pro-social instructions. Okay?
Sure.
And I said it earlier. I stand by that. I believe that Elohim, God, the Lord God of creation, saw fit that a
yes.
father ensures that both their boys and their girls get these lessons. So that when they
yeah.
leave outside of the home, outside of their
yeah.
neighborhood, outside of the block, they are able to stand on their own. Remember the other night we talked about a brick being able to stand by itself?
Right.
That's really what
mm-hmm.
we're talking about. See, you set your limits based on your what? Preparation and development. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And I now, have a limit. You know what I'd rather be doing? I'd rather be traveling the world. I can't afford to do
okay.
that because
hey.
I set my limit. You know what I'm saying? I take recognition and credit for that. Maybe if they're
yes,
taught to do that even, then they can see how to turn that bad dream into a good dream, to know
Absolutely.
That they have control even. Yeah.
Agreed. Outcast,
yeah.
I have to wrestle
yes.
within myself. You know why?
Right.
My baby
wow.
girl, my baby girl is 12 hours away from me now. But guess what?
Right.
She'll be 22 in a couple of months, man. And
right.
I can't make her stay here with me.
No.
But I
but
know,
you know
what
though,
out there in the world. Out. Go ahead.
A lot of them. But can I go over in psychology for a minute? You know, dealing with people. Okay. We gonna go on the standpoint of manipulation.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Now a lot of these guys. They know right from wrong, but
yeah.
like you just stated, you know, it's the money, it's the cars, it's
yeah.
the women, things in that
mm-hmm.
nature. This is what they want to do. That within itself, would you not call that manipulation? Even though they know what they're
yeah.
doing is wrong, but that being in
yeah.
the manipulation aspect of things, do you think manipulation plays a big role in it?
Yeah,
you know?
I'm gonna say yes and no.
Yes.
I'm gonna say yes and no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm gonna say yes and no.
Well, you can answer, you can agree or disagree,
right.
But
so yes, it's manipulation. And you remember I talked about the ghetto trap syndrome?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's who
mm-hmm.
the manipulator is. That's who the manipulator is.
Right.
Now,
right.
who is it that has the ability to teach young people not to be victims of ghetto trap GTS syndrome?
Huh?
Now you're getting with me. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Listen to what the text said. Listen to what the text said. It says, train up a child in
right.
the
uh-huh.
way that he should go. And when he's old, GTS won't catch him. Come on, talk to me something.
Right. But now.
Okay.
All it is too. But now in past
okay.
time, with past people, they have came out of a very good home, you know, fathers
yes.
or pastors,
mm-hmm.
whatever religion that they were in, you know, they
I
were
see.
Given all these instructions and things of that nature. But the
right.
thing is this, when they became of age, or some of them hadn't even become of age, you know, they went on
yeah.
and they did what they did anyway, but they knew that it was wrong, but it was the manipulation a woman to have something, and they didn't care what the
yep.
cost was, and it was wrong, but
I
they
agree.
Did it anyway.
I
a lot
anyway.
Of them even
oh,
went against the teaching of God.
I see.
I agree.
My favorite, my most favorite one is Friedrich Nietzsche. You know, I love him. I like him for a good example of a situation like that. Yeah,
right.
See, that's why
right.
I always mention him. You know. You know, you know about him. But the thing is, this, yes, I would agree that manipulation is a trap. The trap that when you know something is wrong, you know, I mean, your mother can cook a cake and put it on the table to cool or in the windowsill like
yeah.
they used to do years ago. And you want
yeah.
some of that cake and you ask her for that cake. She tells
yes.
you no, but that mind. You know, that cake is there, you know, and somehow it just overrules, and you stick your finger in that cake to get some chocolate
yep.
or whatever, coconut or whatever off of it. Some of them might slice you. But you know what the consequences are going to be because
wow.
you were told not to mess with the cake, but you did it anyway. Manipulation.
Hey.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey, Outkast, let me tell you why
yeah.
I got out of whooping once. My brother now, because my mother was frying some hot chicken on the stove.
Right.
And we yeah. asked her for a piece. We snuck and asked, can we get a piece that's on the plate already? She said, no, y'all, wait. And we already knew she knew how many was on the plate, right? So we're going to be straight. We went and grabbed some straight out the skillet, man. And my mom was kind of heavy, said we can hear her footsteps, man. And both of us, the knee-jerk response was to take the piece of chicken, throw it down our underwear, and run. Man, that was a bad choice right there.
Yes, sir.
And, man, she laughed at us and dogged us out for months off of that one, man. Yeah, you smarties. Y'all so clever. I ain't going to take you to the hospital. I was like, wait a minute. That's
right.
But,
yeah, well, you know, I mean... at the end of the day, I'm trying to get a good understanding. A lot of you guys out here, whether it be men or women, they know what they're doing is right or wrong. Manipulation. Okay, you don't have a driver license, right? But you want to drive
yeah.
a car. Now, you know what the consequences are.
Right.
You know what
That's
the consequences
right.
are.
That's right.
But yet
yeah.
and still, that manipulation get the best of you. And it just totally wrong. You know, the good part of you would tell you, no, I'm not going to drive because I might get pulled over. I might have an accident
right.
or somebody might run into me and I don't have a driver license. I'm messed up. But it's
right.
just that manipulation always.
Yeah.
It's just a trap, too. Which you trap yourself
that's
by not doing what you're supposed to do, and that's having yourself a driver
true.
License, whatever. Let me
sure.
be quiet.
And
be quiet.
I was
going to
agree with him as far as and not just for the young black men in the community that's struggling, but like he said, in everyday life, manipulation can be good and it can be bad. Sometimes we try to manipulate things and cut corners and all of that, only to find, and like he said, when knowing, oh, I'm just going to change my dependence to about 8 on there for this time so I can get the most money. And then by the end of the year, guess what? Guess you done forgot you done that, and you got the most money, but now you owe the most money too. So little stuff like that you know within yourself. The same thing with the Section 8 thing. This thing is becoming big, man. So the thing in the street now is to purposely look for you a gal with about 5 or 6 kids that's on Section 8. Man, that's the living.
Hustle,
that's the life right there. He ain't got to do nothing.
So where did they
come on.
37 to 2. Where did you learn that from?
Yeah.
37 to 2, where do you get that instruction from?
I don't know. I never learned that, honestly.
But there are people who have, right? You know,
I'm sure,
of people who have, right? Okay. My point is,
listen to me
for a second. My point is that I doubt that there is an instructional manual out there codified.
Maybe.
Okay? But it is the folklorish teachings of the ghetto or the hood. This is how you survive.
If you can learn that,
then you can learn the formal way.
No, it is not. That is not from the hood. That's from somebody else.
Diane.
And I know you were as intelligent as everything, disrespect, but that does not come from the hood.
Hold on 1 second. Let me finish.
And I ain't talking to lay up on no woman.
Diane.
Yes, sir.
Diane,
yes, sir.
I'm straight out the project of Chicago.
Me too.
I'm telling you what
I know.
Okay, listen to me. I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. And I keep going back to the project of every city I go to. I intentionally go there because I want to share an experience and teach people how to overcome certain problems. So I'm telling you what's real, now. Let me tell you what the little shawty hustle is. Maybe you never had to do that. Mm-hmm. You've never been a black male who has been put out, their mama been put out, their grandmama put out for whatever reason, and they told them, you're going to have to make it on your own now because I ain't going to be able to feed you no more. So let me tell you what they get. Now, just to talk straight. Just talk straight now.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk straight to you.
I'm listening. I never
they go find. You didn't have to. But there's too many young brothers out here who are. And one of the reasons they're so anxiously on the snatch and grab right now is because the walls are closing in on them.
Okay.
Yep.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Innocent children are being hurt in the process.
That sounds
better ahead, Diane. Let me listen to you, Diane. Go ahead. What are you saying now?
All I said, when you put it the way that you just put it to me, I got that now. But where you put it at first, as is the teaching, some mothers in the projects work they bust to make sure some move away.
That's true.
Other things to keep their sons away from the gangs, the troubles, and a lot of them have been successful, very successful, as well as their sons and daughters have, is my point only.
You're right. You're
Can
right
I
about
say
that.
Something?
Yes. Go ahead, 37-2.
I was going to agree with Diane, but think about this. Consider this. So you are that mom who's been working. You got some 401K. You got a house even. But your son has never left home. He's like 46 years old, continues to get in trouble. You love him. You love him. But you cannot carry him all of his life and your life. So guess what? Mom gets tired at some point. It doesn't make her a bad person. It don't.
But I think it's too doggone long, because at 46 years old, if you ain't going to be a man up under her wing,
let me tell y'all,
you would never become
We sent one of our people out that he was 62 years old to rehab and to figure out where this poor man was going to go. 62, still at home. His mother just died at 91. Where is he going to go?
Who's
trying to find him housing?
who handicapped
him? I guess whoever he been staying with, his mom, I guess, out of love.
Ladies,
love don't make you do that. Love makes you teach your kids how to fend for themselves. Because every day you're not going to be there always.
I agree. This poor woman is dead. Yeah.
8112, you speak the truth to what should be the norm, but it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that
as well as you guys, I respect that and I understand that it's not the norm now, because the norm in my age bracket is this. Mm-hmm. A lot of them haven't been, even if they have been taught the word of God. Okay, a lot of them don't hold on to that, and then they bring their children. Letting them do whatever they do. And the biggest mistake the law made, they took some, not all, because some was overdoing things, parents' rights, as sparing the rod and spoiling the child. Now, they grow up to be 20, 21, 18 on up. And some of them, as she said, is 60-year-old men. You still living with your mama, not to help her, because she taking care of you.
Yeah.
I was raised.
Yes.
When you reach a certain age, if you ain't either going to school, you better have a doggone job.
And look, here's the
better
thing.
Better learn how to cook your own food. Don't rely on no woman to do what you're supposed to do.
Here
as a
is the thing. Here is the thing that broke my heart as a human being and as a grandmom. This man have adult children, and they have children. That hurt. I can't even offer my grandkids a room, a couch to sit on.
Ladies, can I get in here just one thing?
Wow.
What I'm sharing with you all is, I have documentation of the social mindset that drives this behavior. And part of the problem is, Pastor Waller, preachers, they can dog a brother out on Sunday about, you ain't taking care of your business, you ain't taking care of your family, you need to love your wife, you need to give her these things. But when that same brother asked him, show me in the Bible, preacher, how can I start catching up on lost time to develop myself and to control my domain? Oftentimes, I'm not saying everybody, but oftentimes the preacher don't have an answer for him, Pastor. And this is when they become upset and say, this is when they become upset and say, the devil with the church, the preacher with God and everything, I'm going to get it the way I live. Now, that's a sad commentary, but it's real. Okay? And what has happened is, these guys are not 60, 30, 72, but many of them are 18. And at 18, they know that they can go from juvenile to adult correction.
Give them hot.
You understand what I'm saying? And the fear is,
I'm on
the
radio
fear
program
is,
right now. Nashville.
Hold on, Don. I'm coming to you, Don, just a second. The fear
I just
is,
got in the van,
is,
Mr. Docker.
Okay, no problem. Just hold on one second. The fear is 3072 and guys that somebody, Pastor Wallace, is trying to set me up for a trap. Now, the reality is, from birth, you missed out on some very important instruction that will position you to not be in nobody's trap. Does that make sense to y'all?
Yeah.
Now, what happens is, they say, outcast, well, I'm grown, and can't nobody tell me where to go or what to do or how I can do such and such. Well, the truth is, even grown people have limits. Because if you break the law, guess what? You have to suffer the consequences.
Yeah.
If a man don't work.
Reverend Docker?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, where the last one told me that? In a penitentiary with three life sentences. I heard that too.
Yes, sir.
And you're right about that. I'm sorry. Go ahead on the bench. I'm sorry.
No. You're good. All I'm trying to say is that this is an unfortunate reality. And Diane, I feel you. I feel you. There are mothers out there who have been over backwards 3 times to try to avoid their young people, in particular their males, from experiencing these things. Okay? Do you remember I asked you 3072 about why it is it seems that girls are raised or they're trained and boys are pacified? Remember I asked you that question?
Yeah.
That's what I was making reference to right there. There are key early instructions that young males need to learn to become responsible men. If they miss hold on 1 second. If they miss it, it's not impossible for them to catch up. It just means that they're behind and they have to catch up. If they don't know that, that's where the problem comes in. They don't know they're behind. Now, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say this man was a really sweet man, and it sounded like a lot of his troubles, he had good jobs. A lot of his troubles stood behind women. You know, he never built a foundation for himself. He just, you know, stayed with a woman, they break up, didn't go back home to mama, get in trouble, stay with a woman, they break, you know, that lifetime. Not even thinking about,
know,
what's going to happen on down the line when you this age and you can't get around anymore. You sickly yourself now.
Yeah.
So that's the sad part. Good people.
Here's the thing. I delineate in my workbook there various stages of growth and development for a male. When you're born, you're going to be born a male, as evidenced by masculine reproductive organs. Now, the question is, do you ever become a man or a father? I'm about to talk straight now, Pastor Waller. Now, it's a bunch of grown males running around America today, and they making babies. But we ain't seen enough manhood. Because if we did, we wouldn't see the problems that we have right now. I won't go into those stages right now, but I just want to make the point that our problem, Don, is that whether we know it or not, we missed out on the things that we need to position ourselves to be truly independent in America. So the dream of America does come out to seem like a nightmare. It don't have to be, though. Don, I promise I was going to come to you, man. I apologize for waiting so long. Go ahead, brother. How you doing this evening?
Hey, Mr. Dockery, today I was talking to Steve, and I'm going to tell you, you know, y'all in Davidson County, and we out in Dixon County. And Steve, we was talking today, and Steve's my cousin. We was talking today about a young lady that I went to school with. I say she's about a grade behind me. And she got a son that got busted for drugs in Dixon County. And, Mr. Dockery, I got a problem with Tennessee justice system.
Okay. Okay.
I just got a problem with it. And then at my experience with my father when he ran for vice president up under LaRouche, and they attacked the KKK there in Nashville. I just got a problem.
Okay.
I got a problem with the South altogether. And I can understand why Trump is telling Sessions, come back down South.
Done.
Because these hillbillies think you stupid, Mr. Dockery.
Hey, done. Keep it.
Go ahead.
Stay with me on the topic of how to know your limits. I hear you about those folks, but so we can stay focused on this one. Can you help me with that? Can you talk to me about that a little bit? What do you think about how to know where your limits are? Do you have any limits? Can you do whatever you want to when you get ready?
No, you can't do what you want to.
Okay.
No, you can't.
Okay. But Outkast, I thought they said this was the home of the brave and land of the free, and that we got freedom in America. Outkast, I thought that's what they said.
Yes, sir. We have freedoms that, from my point of view, we have freedoms that within the freedom that don't impose on other people. This is why our laws are in place. I mean, a lot of people would like to walk around throwing dynamite all day, but there's danger. That's not good. You know, and then, you know, like when they do go set up their little workshop and they'll make their little pipe bombs and things of that nature and mail them off, they're there while they get life in the penitentiary. against the law. You know, I mean, as long as you're within the law, you're okay. You know, yes, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, but you are you have good select freedom to do what is right.
Man, that's
not harm other people.
Yeah. Right.
Mama Diane, let me say something to Mama Diane right quick. Hey, Mama Diane.
Yes, sir. Love y'all. Good night.
I was
recently
I was having a conversation with a African American female. She looked like she was probably about maybe 29, 30, maybe 31, mm-hmm. right?
Uh-huh.
And she says, "You running for office?" I said, "Yes, I am." She says, "So what you think about making marijuana legal for recreational use?"
Mm-hmm.
She says, Now you know there's a lot of us out here don't like that blank blank they trying to do." So I said, "Okay," I listened to her. And I asked her, I said, "Why when you were born, did you need marijuana to survive?" No, it's just for fun. You know how we do everything else for fun. So I asked her, are you aware of the effects of marijuana? Now, don't get me wrong. I realize that like other medicines, there are medicinal uses for it. I get that.
Right.
She said to me, "You're just trying to cut people out of fun." I haven't told her yet if I would support such legislation or not.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you're coming from, Mama Diane?
She tried that one to get some weed. I ain't lying. Everybody that smoke weed, it does calm some of them down. I don't want none, but hey. Everything that's for somebody else don't work. It just don't work. Don't mean it don't work for somebody else. The law said,
okay.
People said, for this purposes, they've been smoking weed all their life, and they ain't finna let you stop.
Uh-oh.
Legalized, illegalized.
Yeah,
but it was illegal just like crabs and everything.
Okay, somebody, we're getting your background noise. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mom. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I crime and everything else. I mean, you can leave them to the water, but you just can't make people drink it. Unless if they pick you enough and about to die and everything, they might take a sip. I don't know.
Well,
I don't have all those answers. That girl was saying, "I ain't going to stop her from smoking her weed." That's what she was saying
right.
to me. Son.
Can I tell you how I responded to her?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you how I responded to her? I told her that there was a time in the Afro-American experience when human beings legally got away with controlling not only your mind but your body. And
mm-hmm.
if you didn't eat the food they want you to, they were legally able to bust your teeth out and force food down
Ooh.
Your mouth. That's
wow.
doing slavery. That's doing slavery. And I said to her that essentially what you do when you allow a substance like marijuana to control your mind, you allow somebody to set you up, Pastor Wallace, for the trap of being controlled later on. Why would you give that power up to somebody else?
But a lot of people, the people I know smoke weed don't think it controls their mind. They still act normal. They pay their bills. They do diligence. There's people on here. They've been on it so many years. They go to work every day. They're not black. They're not yellow. They're not green. They're not purple. They're not white. Okay.
You know
and
what we call that?
It, and they function daily with it. And when you take
you know
them with some things away from some people, it will kill them
right.
dead.
That's called a functional addict. That's called a functional addict.
I'm a
when
functional addict. I drink my beer.
Diane,
pretty well.
Quit
I ain't got to lie.
Now.
You can lie to somebody else, but you can't lie to yourself.
That's true. And so what I'm saying is, though, is that we don't need any more impairments. Our young people don't need any more impairments. And I think it would be wrong for me to support any legislation that further impairs them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, and I agree with you. I agree with you, period. But see, okay, then it goes back to what you were also speaking about. I have children, and the most of them, I weigh the latter part of them, don't even drink. They don't smoke. They don't do. And I was right there at home, my kids. I didn't kill none of them. Ain't none of them retired, as far as I know. Ain't none of them mongroids or ingrates or none of that. They're very intelligent young people. There's a limit, like I said. There is a limit to what we do, especially when you do it in front of a child.
Right.
Then you have
That's
to
right.
teach them, you don't do as I do. You do better if you think I'm doing something wrong.
Sure.
There you go.
Sure. Pastor Wallace. Mm-hmm. Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir.
I believe I got derailed. Get me on track, Pastor.
You got derailed? I derailed you?
No, I didn't say that. Now, 8112. 8112.
I'm listening, baby. You said you believe you got derailed. I won't know why.
Let me talk to Pastor Wallace.
I mean, hey, I'm listening to you.
I ain't talking about you right now. Let me talk to Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir. I'm sure.
Hold on one second. Go ahead, Pastor.
What's going on?
Bring me up to speed. Where are you at? You've been following our conversation. What do you think about our dialogue thus far?
Well, I always find it very interesting because there's a twofold situation here, you know. Talking about living the American dream is what I heard you start out with.
Yes,
and
sir.
When a person is blind to the truth and then looking at the American dream, they may not know anything about a person that worked a good job, that had success or anything. They're just thinking about, I see this and I want to get it. And so if something come their way and they get it another way, you can't blame them because they didn't know how you got it. They just seen you with it. And so, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So, you know, you don't believe unless you see it. So they seen it, but you never explain how you got it. So do I charge the person? But according to the word of God, that he say, I didn't come for the righteous. Now, that's what he said. You know, he said, I didn't come for the righteous, but for sinners to repent. He told them ones who were talking down on people, he said, go and find out what that means. In other words, you're already upright. So this message can't be for you because you're already upright. Now, if I'm going to try to help somebody, it's not going to be the person who's already righteous because that person already got it together. So for the American dream, so if the American dream is out there being reached out for by people who don't know nothing about the 9 to 5, the 11 to 7 or the 3 to 11, whatever you want to call it,
all they know
is that I can get me some money this way, and that's the American dream. But actually,
it's the American
nightmare. You see, that's what a nightmare is. When you don't know the trap, you just know here's a time for you to get money. So you may think that the same thing is required to get money, even though the people may have gotten a job and done all this or had an inheritance left for them. They was able to live. You never know how it came about, but all you know is that this person now is hustling, you know, selling drugs, doing whatever they may be doing, and gambling, robbing, stealing, whatever they're doing, but they live in the American dream, so they think. However, that's what I talk about, a trap all the time.
Okay.
If people don't believe that there's a trap out there that don't let you see the positive side, they only let you see something that'll cause you to be open and lured into
a way
that seems right.
it seems
right because it wasn't explained to you that if you get caught selling drugs, it's going to be a charge already waiting for you. It's called possession for resale. You didn't know nothing about that. You know what I mean? But when you get out of town, they pull the paperwork out on you and they go to work. I say paperwork, meaning they get ready to go to work on you to let you know we got you in this trap and this is what we do to people when we trap them. I'm just talking about what you did to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I know. So the instruction that I have now is this. According to Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. See, that's how I got free. He made me free. And then gave me a simple instruction. He said, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So guess what I don't do? I don't go back to where I just came from because he gave me an instruction. And be not entangled again means that I was once trapped. And when the instructions came, he said, and be not entangled again. What did that mean? He said, I know you was in a trap once, but I'm giving you a simple instruction not to do it again. Now I know.
Yes.
See the difference? That's the difference. Yeah.
Okay.
Make a lot of
Pastor, Pastor 8112 wanted to respond to you.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Go ahead, 8112.
Thank you. And coming from the outside, and I ain't never been on the inside of prison or jail or nothing, my point to you is this. The trap is the trap that you begin offsetting for yourself. And most of the guys that I've heard speak to and talk to that went to prison, it wasn't because they trapped.
Oh, no.
They were doing what they wanted to do. It wasn't because somebody set an example, their mama was no good and all that, and daddy wasn't no good necessarily. It happens so often, as we all probably know, and some of us may not know. So, however, anyways, people do, your life is planned out anyway. If everybody was so right, there was no need for God to make us all different.
Okay.
And that's what I think about. We all are made differently. We all think differently. I have seven children, and they all think differently with their own mind. Whether I taught them, the streets taught them, life would teach you. If you live long enough.
Yeah.
And it's wisdom. You will find it because God instilled that within you, and you may not even know God personally, but there's going to be something in your subconscious mind that's going to tell you, I want to do this. I don't want to do that. And you follow along. He ain't going to keep making you do something. He will show you the way as he still see fit. And once you make your mind up and you do that, there's a reaction for every action. There's a repercussion behind a lot of things most of us have done. Even
and
if it's just having a baby. Some of us don't understand because we have them so young. Some people do. That this is yours for life. Whether it outlives you or you outlives it. I'm supposed to nurture and take care of that. Everybody don't have. But God instructs some of them women different than men. It's called mother love. And fathers love their children, too. I'm not saying that. But it's different when you carry something in your womb for 9 months and you give birth to that child. If you say, I'm going to get this baby up, and you decide to keep it, something clicks in. And some people just don't have that paternal instinct to raise a child like that.
All right. May we go to 3072? She wanted to add to the conversation there.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, 3072.
Well, it's a good point that Diane brought up about, maternal instinct even, knowing yourself. And so here's the thing. If my only option to feed myself were to sell drugs, I personally wouldn't make a lot of money because I wouldn't sell to people that's itching and scratching and that I know that I can physically see with my eyes that if I get this to them, if I give this to them, they're going to turn the corner and possibly stroke out, have a heart attack, or something and die. If I was a pedophile or if I was somebody in the sex industry, I'm not going to make money. I'm not going to make money because I'm not going to sell you a child to rape or to prostitute.
You have a heart. There's a lot of people that don't.
That's the point that I'm trying to drive. And so it goes back again to very, like you said, childhood development. Teaching young children what's actually right so that it do become an internal instinct to just think, oh, this feels bad, so I'm not doing this. There's another option out there. Even the Wall Street, even the congressmen, the president, they do things that they know within themselves is hurting people, but for their good, for their advancement, then okay, oh well. And guess what? Karma takes care of all of that.
Karma takes care of the dope dealers. Karma takes care of the crackhead. Karma takes care of the corrupt preacher. It takes care of the politics. Yeah, the life cycles. It gets you. It's a shame when people can't see it, though.
What do you think commerce is going to do? Keep their money flowing or listen to what you're talking about?
They're going to possibly be greedy like they've been doing.
Thank you. They're going to keep their money flowing.
And that's why the world is going to continue to go to hell in a handbasket. That's just it.
All right.
And we just stuck in it until God calls us home.
Hold on. I got to back up on you now, 3072. We ain't got to go that way.
All right.
It ain't got to be like that. That's why we're here tonight. Let you know that's an option. But, yeah, I appreciate what y'all are saying.
It's scary. It is frightening.
Well, go right ahead.
Let me hit this home. Okay.
Right.
Now, let me go to the de-convicted fellow. They know that they're not supposed to have firearms, right? They know that they're not supposed to have firearms. Now, here go the manipulation again. You're doing your dirt. You're doing what you're doing. You probably made a lot of enemies. So, well, you're going to put that gun on you. Okay, now, you know you get your 5 years in a federal prison for that gun, right? Now, check this out.
Yep.
I'm not watching the news. They didn't pass a law. They used to take you to the general session court. Guess what they're doing now, Reverend Dockery? They bound it straight over to the grand jury. See, now, can't no one sit up and say that they didn't know that they weren't supposed to have no gun, right?
How you going to fix this today?
Hold on, Diane. He talked. Let him finish. Go ahead.
But now,
Cass, I'm sorry.
Can a convicted felon state that they didn't know that they were supposed to have a gun?
No. See, I doubt it.
All this stuff been going on with them and the police. So what did a DA do? They used to go to general session court. A lot of them get out. Now guess what? Going straight to the grand jury again. Manipulation. You know you're not supposed to have a firearm, but you're gonna put it on you. Then people gonna turn around and say, "Well, you didn't know you wasn't supposed to have no gun."
What? Yeah.
And I hope.
Okay.
Manipulation. Okay. Even the driver license. I'm done.
Right.
Thank you.
And I think
if they have no criminals, people could make no money.
Well, listen. We're trying to tell people have not to be criminal. And then you don't have to get caught up in that. That's the whole point.
True. I agree. I tell people I don't like criminals. Sometimes life brings about a bad situation.
Well, it don't have to. It could happen to
the little kids out there that the grown men's got selling dope and doing all this and taking folks, and they don't even know no better. What happened to them little kids? Yeah, got them
I'm
selling folks and everything else. Now, see,
everything ain't
about older people. I mean, it's supposed to be, but it ain't. Because the day I lived in called Revelation, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Let me answer that for you, what happened to those children. If you show me a child in that situation, I'll show you a child who lacks the direction and protection of their parents for whatever reason.
Billions.
See, those babies didn't just pop out of the gas. A stork didn't drop them out of the gas. Somebody laid down and brought them there. One of the things that we must do is not make excuses for backwards, destructive, inappropriate behavior. From nobody.
And I promise you, that's not what I'm trying to turn out
about. Listen to me for a second. Okay, I hear you. I heard you what you said. And I'm not blaming anything on you or anybody. Ain't nobody mad but the devil right now. And I'm talking about the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. I'm trying to tell you how he's doing it. And if we learn from our past experience, no matter how bad it is, we can avoid the trap
that Pastor Wall has been telling us about that has been set out there for too many people. We can end that. That ain't have to be our reality.
Yeah.
It don't have to be. We got to change our behavior, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Got to change our mindset, that's all. You know, that's all I'm saying.
That'll be a beautiful thing, Pastor Dockery. Honest to goodness, I understand what you're saying. But in all actuality, it's going to be a hell of a fight.
Look here.
Because
let me tell you
what,
the problem.
Just talking about it ain't good enough. You got to be
let
about
me tell you
it
what the problem is. Let me tell you what the problem is. If I could, if, well, I better not say that. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's all right.
This was
yeah,
a
that's
fear.
Okay. Well, okay. There is hope for the lost. Have I got a witness? And redemption.
For that. Yes, sir.
Redemption is here. Redemption
yes.
is here.
Yes.
So I'm gonna leave it like that. Look, Pastor Waller, what are you doing with the clock, man? Look at the time. Jeez.
Oh, man, back again. It never fails, brother. It's an order. It
looks like
order,
we
man.
Just started talking, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I've been getting some of Don's background noises, so I'm going to give him a chance to give us to wrap us up first before we get out of here. I don't know. He said he was in the car, so he's probably riding. Don, are you still there, brother?
Yes, I am. I'm leaving the store going over to the washer. Go ahead.
Okay. You want to give us a final thought? I kind of silenced your mic because I kept hearing a lot of noise in the background, and it was interfering.
It is because I'm here next to the main highway on 80, where I work at, Mr. Docker.
No problem.
Huh?
You've been following our conversation. What do you think, man? Stay with us on Don. How do you know when you're limit? How to know your limits, Don? What? Give me your feedback, man. Give me a couple of minutes.
Well, when you saying you know your limits, what limits are you talking about, Mr. Dockery?
Your personal limits. When you don't overextend yourself, Don. When you don't stretch yourself too thin. When you don't put yourself in somebody else's noose to control you. That's what I mean.
Mm.
Done?
Why would you put yourself in somebody else's knee? Which, Mr. Dawkins, when you say stuff like that, I have done it in the past, and guess what? I'm coming to learn to look after me and be strong for me. You know, and Mr. Dawkins, I'm a person like this. I don't like to hurt nobody. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
You know how Mama raised me, so...
Right,
if somebody
right.
really got a need, I'm going to help them out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the man you are, Doc. That's the man you are. But you know, Don, there's some good people like you who caught up, man. They just caught up.
Yeah, because you are good-hearted. And people take your goodness for, they take it for a weakness. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, I'm talking about there are good-hearted people who caught up in the game, and they don't know the way out.
Oh, there's a way out, Mr. Doc, if you choose to come out.
I agree with you. Outcast told me it was tonight. Outcast, that's what Outcast been talking about. It's a way out. But you got to take the blindness off your eyes. Come on, somebody.
Yep.
That's true. And Mr. Doc, I was going to say something to you. I understand where Trump and the northern guys are coming from. You know, it's sad what I'm seeing here in Selma. You got people down here following the KKK. And it's sad. And then you send a KKK member to the White House. Jeff Sessions was KKK.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's sad.
Hey, Don,
but like you said, there's a way out if they choose that way out.
Yeah. Don, you know why I don't talk about Donald Trump and Sessions and what's going on in the White House? Because I have absolutely no control over that. I'm only talking about what I can do in my backyard, man. Because those folks don't do what they want to do. I can't control them.
That's what I'm
you
saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, Mr. Dockery. I'm saying the way out is do for yourself. That's the way out.
There you go. Now you're talking.
And the reason I say that, Mr. Dockery, I was raised by Jenkins Cali. I can't come back and tell none of y'all that my grandfather went out and worked every day on a farm every day, and guess what? Never punched a car. Had plenty of money.
Had plenty of money.
Plenty of it.
I hate you.
I hear you. Okay, man.
So, you know, so there is a way out if you choose that way out.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. All right, well, appreciate that. Done. I'm going to have to give everybody a chance to get out. We got about 4 minutes, man. Shoot.
All right.
That's why I've been playing with the clock on us while we were talking. I don't know what's going on, but appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us here. A112, give me 30 seconds to live back.
I thank you so much, and I'm going to jump off, and I hope I said something productive or, you know.
You did.
Whatever.
You did. You certainly did. Can I say this before you leave?
Yes, sir.
I love you like peanut butter jelly on wheat bread with a cold glass of milk.
That
now, you take
good.
That to bed with you. Take that to bed.
I will, darling. Thank you. And everyone, I love you guys, and have a blessed night.
All right. Thank you, man.
Bye,
we
James.
Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
All right. 3072, you got the floor.
I agree with Don, and there is a way out, and you got to make that way for yourself. And I'm just asking y'all to pray that my nose would unclog so I can breathe.
All right. You get better, darling. You get better. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you joining us. All right, Outcast, what you say about it, man? What you say about it?
Well, manipulation don't control me. I control manipulation back. Bam.
Oh, wow.
Get out of my mind.
Wow. Wow.
Manipulation.
Wow.
That's the key. Watch it.
Watch it. Watch it. That is so true, Outcast. I mean, when we can figure that out, that's the greatest secret right there.
If you
avoid manipulation, you're in control. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. Pastor, what about it, man?
Yeah.
What we got?
Yeah. Man, I like what the Word of God said about anything in life, man. I mean, that's the lineup to me. I believe, trust, lean, and depend upon it. You know, the Word says we get more truth and less lies, because we've been lied to long enough. And the Bible says, Paul says the words like this, man. He said, have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, look, he's talking about the truth, man. You know, the truth hurts.
Wow.
It doesn't feel good.
Wow.
And then it goes on further to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, when people are bound, they need to hear truth. They don't need to hear speculation, opinions, and things like that. We need to hear truth. So I'm going to leave you with this. He says, unless the enemy, unless Satan get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, that's what the Word says. If we're not ignorant of his device, that means we got the upper hand and we're looking for more of the truth. But if we don't know his schemes, tactics, and things like that, it's a continuation of corruption that's going to carry on. It's stripping from his power and get more truth. Glory to God.
Wow. It's hope, man. That's the good news. That's good news. It's hope. I sure appreciate y'all. I appreciate all you guys for joining us, Pastor, as always. And we're going to look to the hill for we come our help. All of my help.
Yes, sir.
All of my help. Yes. Come from the Lord. We thank you.
This
has been another episode of Talk Straight, and we're going to cut out of here with that and ask you to join us next Tuesday, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock. And we'll be here for another episode of Talk Straight. People all over the world, join in. Let's talk about love.